Hi, hello. This is Gaper. My name is Ermagan, and today we have Angel with us. He is the CEO and founder of Freed Camp. Hi, Angel.
Hey, happy to be here.
Thank you for joining us. So to start off, can you give our audience a little background about yourself? Where did you graduate from? What's your journey towards becoming and starting a company called Freed Camp?
Sure. Yeah. So I started off my web development career very early on. I was 10 years old when I visited yahoo.com and I instantly fell in love. Yeah, I was absolutely in love. It was looking at the equivalent of looking at the Mona Lisa. I thought, you know, this is so fantastic that somebody built this website where probably millions of people visit, and they have to interact with it and access their mail and do all these important things. And I knew that for the rest of my life, this is what I want to do, build interfaces, build websites that benefit a huge amount of people. So I started off building websites as a hobby. I didn't even know it was a career for a few years until we had a day at school where a web developer came and told us that they make thousands of dollars doing it, and how it's a fantastic career. And I thought, oh, this is great. Not only am I, you know, get to do something I love, but I actually get to get paid for it. And that's exactly when everything changed for me. Yeah, it was a fantastic moment. So when I was 16, I started my first company. I found this teacher of mine who was actually turned out to be a very rich investor. So he invested $10,000 in my first business called Xfrag, built a online social community for gamers, which was really great
gamers.
Experience. Yeah, it was actually, I was a professional gamer at the time, and I realized that building websites was great, but playing video games professionally wasn't, even though I was getting paid. So I thought, why don't I build something for the game that I know so well? I saw there was like a lack of a product that would allow gamers to play instantly together, Counter-Strike.
Counter-Strike, yes, I remember, yep. I played it.
Yep, and I built this software that would basically instantly connect people and put them in a server to play together, which is actually now part of the game itself. And there's another three services that do the exact same thing. So my idea was quite ahead of its time. I simply didn't have enough money to continue the idea, but it was an interesting thing. And I actually hired a team in India that built most of the website. I focused on the servers and all that good stuff. So it was really good.
So that means I was probably using that server or using the application you built when I was playing Counter-Strike a few years ago. Like, I'd say a good 10 years ago, yeah.
It was about 14 years ago. So, yeah, around that time.
Cool, yeah.
It was exciting.
Apologies, that was cutting you off. Yeah, please go on.
Yeah, no, it was exciting. I learned a lot of things. Being my first business, I really was lacking marketing and certain business skills. So I took it pretty tough when I had to close it down. But at the same time, I think it was a lesson that I genuinely needed to learn, many lessons that I needed to learn. So then I focused a lot on just learning the things that I felt I was lacking. And when I was 18, I had already been working as a professional web developer for a few companies. And I realized that there was many project management systems that all did certain things really well, but they did other things not quite so well. And I had this famous camping trip that I was organizing with a group of other friends that resulted in something in the range of, I don't know, 60 replies, and everyone was supposed to do something and bring something. Yeah, just one of those hellish reply email threads. Yeah. And when we actually got to the camping trip, people forgot to bring the things they were supposed to bring. And it was just huge misorganization. Yeah, and it was very familiar because I've seen similar problems in companies I've worked at. Yeah, that don't use project management systems. So I thought, man, this is great. This is such a big problem. But at the same time, there was no project management system that offered their core product for free. And that meant that people organizing camping trips or students will not have the resources, the money to pay for using a product. Yeah, so I thought, why not just spend a few months and build like something very simple that I can give away for free and people can really enjoy it. And we did so, I don't know, I guess so well in the first year of building it that when we released it, we ended up having 30,000 users in the first year of being out. And then
30,000,
after about
that's great.
Yeah, no, it was way more than I expected, for sure. And it was a great sign that whatever I thought might be important for the world was more important than I even thought. So then after about 3 years, it stopped being so much a hobby because we needed to actually start paying. I was paying for servers out of my own pocket, working a full-time job elsewhere. And I realized I can't keep doing that. So we started offering some business features, such as Gantt charts and premium storage and whatnot. And that was the only way to start getting some money, even though most people continue to use the product for free. So yeah, many years past that, we became profitable. We started actually making great money, but at the same time, our free product continued to get better and better. And now we're used by every single university in the world. We have almost every large nonprofit organization sponsored using our enterprise plans. And yeah, it's just many, many remote teams, including Obama's candidacy. The people that ran his campaign also utilized Streetcamp to organize things. But this is literally one of so many fantastic examples of companies and people and nonprofit organizations utilizing our system. So remote and even in-person organization of projects has been a part of my life for over a decade. Mm-hmm. And it's exciting. It's been a lot of fun.
That is so interesting, because usually when people go out making applications or a solution to a problem, they want to put a price tag on it. And to just hear someone say, you know what, like I was in a camping trip and it went really bad. So I thought, why not make a project management system, which like everybody could use, and then you could have the extra features paid for rather than like all the good features being paid for and the simple ones being free. So yeah, it's amazing to hear an initiative like this.
For the record, the good features are not paid. That's been our goal from the beginning. Any feature that requires managing a project is actually free. It's only features that only businesses benefit from that we've charged for. So that's a very important core of our business, is just to allow the world to manage any project for free, and only businesses that have advanced needs, such as like a CRM system. That's what really also differentiates our system. When we started, I didn't want to just, it free wasn't the main goal. The main goal was that there were already hundreds of project manager systems. Now there are thousands. And they all tried to solve a specific niche, whether they were for organizing weddings or engineers or real estate agents. Each system sort of tries to solve a few problems. Our system said, let's make it modular, sort of like an iPhone works, and you can actually choose which applications you use for each project. So it starts off super simple, and then as the team's needs grow, or if the team by default is extremely complicated with a lot of employees, you can install a lot of different applications to help you manage very complicated and advanced projects. So it's a very flexible system. Just like my grandma can use an iPhone at 76, the goal was to make it so simple that anyone can use it. And then as the needs increase, the product can adjust itself to accommodate those needs.
Makes sense. Okay. So so how long have you guys been remote working, or like, have you had engineers who work remotely?
After the third year, when we hired an engineer in Bulgaria, we have been working remotely with most of our team the whole history of the company, because I'm based in California, Santa Barbara, and most of our team was at some times in Bulgaria, and then ended up being most of it in Croatia and Ukraine. So it's been remote the whole way through. And I've worked for many years I was working at other companies trying to pay the bills and pay for Streetcamp. I worked with in San Francisco with teams in India and Czech Republic and so on. So I've managed remote teams most of my life. It's being remote has been basically the core of my work existence.
Interesting. So, okay. So for someone who has always worked remotely and has managed teams remotely, what advice would you have if we went a year back and we all knew the pandemic was going to happen and things were going to go remote? What advice would you give to other managers and engineers who would have to start working remotely now?
You know, it's funny, the advice that I've been giving companies for the past 10 years that I've worked with, and I've worked with many, many companies, doesn't change now that the pandemic is here and people need to start working remotely. Basically, any company that needs to have remote work done has a few basic, I think, concepts that really will aid them in becoming successful. So any team can work remote, and they will fail if they try to rely solely on emails, or at least they won't fail fully, but they'll suffer and they'll have many inefficiencies. And I'm allergic to inefficiencies. So for me, using email to organize companies is a very unhealthy way to solve remote working. I've watched many employees spend days just going through their email rather than getting their actual work done. And that's a horrible sign. And it's a very clear indicator that remote working cannot be done via email. And yeah, so here's the first tip I have. You have to find that one person, or at least dedicate a person, that is going to be solely responsible for investigating some project management system. It doesn't have to be FreedCamp. I highly suggest it, but it can be any system. They should definitely review a few options. And they should get to know it really well. When they're getting to know it, they should actually have a list of, let's call them requirements, things that they would like to do using that system. As simple as, we want to have tasks, but we also want to have a Gantt chart. Let's give Gantt chart as an example. Yeah. And we want it to integrate with our calendar, because let's face it, many companies rely heavily on calendars.
I'm cutting you off right now. Could you explain what a Gantt chart is for some of the followers
who might
not know what
it is? So there are many ways to manage tasks. We offer all of them. We offer a list view, which is like if you sit down with a piece of paper and start writing tasks, you write them in a separate lines. Yeah. That's the list view. Then there's Kanban, which is this board which has three columns, getting started, in progress, completed. So you move the progress to the right.
You move like a card.
Each card to the right until it's completed. And then you can have a really good visual overview of how things are happening. Mm-hmm. And then you have a Gantt chart, which is a way to see the resources, basically what each employee is supposed to do in a timeline view. So the timeline view represents when they should be starting to work on a specific item, when they're going to complete it. Mm-hmm. And then more importantly, the Gantt really offers advanced things like saying they cannot start working on task Z until they finish task X. So it's a dependency management.
Yes. Yeah, it's a dependency
allowing you to know people are not going to start working on things that are not ready to work. Yeah, so it's very, very important to utilize for bigger companies so they know how the resources are deployed. But more importantly, to even just prevent misflow of when people work on what. So it's a great way to have an overview. So yeah, I highly suggest that somebody reviews the project management systems, has a sample project in mind that's very much related to what their company does, and tries out the product. Once they've really tried out the product, they figure out which project management system they want to use, they should then really go ahead and invest into learning all the aspects of it, all the benefits, all the maybe difficulties as they're using it. They should probably try it with a few employees. The goal here, though, is just for them to be, we call it a champion, the person that understands the system inside and out, and understands how they can utilize it to remove emails as being their main way of organizing what needs to be done and communicating around what needs to be done. So then once you have that champion, his job is going to be to teach the rest of the employees and at the same time make sure that everyone is using the system correctly and constantly update people on like, hey, like I noticed people are doing this, but they should do this. If you don't have a person dedicated to make sure that this is a success, the rate of failure is quite high. So this is going to be my first suggestion. Make sure you dedicate one person who is really going to take it on himself to make this work. And ideally, this is a manager position. But you know what? I've seen companies that pull this off with somebody who's just a junior guy starting out. Like he used FreedCamp in the past. He goes, joins a big company. And he says, guys, you should use FreedCamp because I use it in my school. And I've seen great success with that. As long as he's dedicated, motivated, and understands the system, it really improves the odds that the company is going to succeed using a project management system. The next thing that I want to talk about is email is the devil. And at the same time, I've seen Slack, Skype, all the different communication methods.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry?
You seem to have a personal vendetta with an email.
I do. And actually, there are many people that have the same problem as me. It's like I sit here for about 3 hours and explain why email is one of the worst things you could be utilizing as your main way of communicating in your company. But we don't have that kind of time. So yeah. I'll focus on just explaining that all the communication tools, whether it's email, Slack, Skype, they end up forcing a lot of one-on-one communication around the work that is being done within the company. So if you have some task, let's say that George and Bob are building a new building, they're architects, and they're building some amazing new building. And they communicate a lot about the decisions, why the building should have three entrances and so many windows and so on, in Skype, in Slack, whatever communication. And there's some tasks in a project management system that they may end up, you know, providing the final design for that building. But if one of them gets fired or one of them leaves the project and somebody else needs to take over, when they see that final design, they will have no idea how the decisions were made for so many, how many entrances there should be, how many windows.
Yeah.
And there may have been some great information regarding, you know what, there should be four entrances because on the right side, there's a metro station or a subway station where people are going to access the office. Mm-hmm. On the left side, there's a park where people need to, you know, get into lunch and get out much easier and so on. So these decisions, these communications that happen between employees are lost every single day. So let's take a minute of silence for all those all that important information that is being lost constantly, making decisions that are never documented. So my second tip is always, always, always summarize communication that you may have one-on-one, even in group chats, in a project management system where the task is actually being logged. And if you're not using a project management system, then I'm genuinely sorry, you're going to have a very difficult life. And if you are using one, summarize it there so that you have a clear decision summary of how each decision came up to be. I've had projects that are like 6 years old where we decide to make a change. It ends up breaking the entire system. It's a huge payment product that just goes down. And then we're trying to figure out why it broke. Well, thank God that company actually used the project manager system. We went back 5 years and found the comment that somebody added saying why and how a change was made, and it even stated that there may be some problems in the future if, you know, XY condition happens.
Oh.
And we fixed it within minutes. So, and I've been in the same situation vice versa where we didn't have any documentation, we didn't have any place to go look for a solution, and then you're just stuck reading thousands and thousands of lines of code trying to figure out how something happened. And so anyways, so summarize meetings, keep communication always around a place that can be seen by all employees, and it can then be substituted. Like if something's assigned to one person and then they get fired and you assign it to somebody else, then it could, that information stays there. And even if the same person works on it, I guarantee you that most of us after 6 years will forget why we made certain decisions.
Exactly.
So
yeah, true.
It's very, very important to keep communicating. So those are two huge tips. And I think the last thing is more on a human level. Mm-hmm. I've worked from home for many years. I've had times where I've had my desk in my bedroom when I was young, and you know, you're working and you look at your bed and it kind of invites you over. So there are a few important things I want to say for people that work remote. One, definitely try to not have your office in your bedroom. As much as you can separate from the place you eat or sleep, the better. The second thing I want to suggest is try to surround yourself with people. I've had periods where I program for 5 days straight and then I feel sort of like in my own little cave, and that actually doesn't have a really positive effect on most humans. So, and nowadays a lot of people are forced to be at home where they may be much more social. So try to keep a social calendar, try to stay active. And then active is the next thing I really highly suggest, is working out, any kind of exercise, walk into the park. It's really going to help you sleep better. And if you're stuck at home and you walk 3 steps from your bedroom to your office, then your body's actually going to really start, well, getting fat, but also just feeling slow. And that's never a good thing. You know, people may underestimate that walking to their car, driving to their office, walking up the stairs, etc., is actually good for your body. And so imitating that in a home environment is also very, very essential. So the more you could, let's call it, simulate a working from the office environment situation, I think the better off you're going to be. So this is very important tips. And just being human is the last one. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that was great. I have one last question, which is related to the future of remote work. You and your company has been working remotely, but what do you think is going to happen in the future for other companies? Like, not every company is a tech company. So what's your take on that?
You know, let's see. I want to summarize this. First off, when I started my company, project management was, I think, probably 20 times less, 20 times less people were using project management. It was 20 times less mm-hmm. popular. And it's really grown. And a lot of teams have started utilizing project management. And I think remote work has actually also increased quite dramatically. And now it's been sort of expedited into a must work from home situation. Yeah. And I think a lot of companies were really scared of it at first, which you can't blame them. They think people at home might not be as productive, et cetera. Mm-hmm. The reality of it is that companies are waking up to the idea that that's not necessarily the case, especially if you utilize correct practices. It's actually guaranteed to have certain positive effects on employees. So I think the future is going to be a much more open culture and understanding of remote work for companies, where I think many companies might opt in for a situation where people come in only a few days of the week to work from the office and a few days from home. I genuinely think that the regular work week we've had is something that's been around for way too many years, and we've based it off on the wrong concepts. I mean, it's as simple as, you know, I'll give you an example, text messages to be limited to, I think, about 120 characters or something like that. And this was based on some old school networking limits that were actually surpassed for a long time. But just because the standard was this, companies didn't change it. This is, I think, the same situation here, where like we're just used to these 8-hour workdays from a desk that even people that don't work on a desk, you know, not only engineers work on a desk, but anyways, I think we have some broken understandings about a work week and what it takes to be productive. And I think that's really going to be jump-started now because of all the things that have happened, and companies have been forced to rethink a lot of this. So I can definitely foresee the future being a much more remote world. And that's a good thing, because the world is full of so many brilliant, intelligent, and fantastic human beings that you may not be able to interact with in your immediate mm-hmm. circle or within a few miles or kilometers, whatever, around you. Yet you can benefit from being in touch with people all around the world. So I think it's a fantastic time to be alive. And the tools that we have become truly remarkable. And I think we really didn't utilize them as much as we can to just benefit from them. So I think this was something that is as painful as it was and as sad as it was, I think it's going to have some positive effects. And I always like to look on the bright side of things.
It's a great way to end the podcast, Angel. Thank you for coming. We completely appreciate you giving us your time. If there's anything else, let me know. This was Ermozan from Gaper signing out.
Thank you. Bye.